So today, to talk about a new partnership between Seizure Tracker and the TS Alliance, we are joined by Rob Moss, who is a co-founder of Seizure Tracker, and Gabrielle Rushing, who is Associate Director of Research at the TS Alliance. Thank you for joining me, you two.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us. What a pleasure it is to talk to you again.
Always a pleasure to talk to you, Rob. So to kind of give us some background on this new project, Rob, I'm wondering if you could give me just a brief description of what Seizure Tracker is.
Sure. So Seizure Tracker was built originally for monitoring our son Evan's seizures, and we quickly realized that it filled a gap for the community. So worked on really making a resource that was usable publicly and pushed it out to the community. And it's really a web, mobile, and voice-controlled seizure diary that allows you to enter event-related information along with accompanying therapies and lifestyle data that really gives your doctors a much better idea of how maybe therapies are impacting seizure activity, but then also other things that surround having seizures and epilepsy.
And you mentioned that you originally built Seizure Tracker to track your son's seizures, but I'm sure as you created this tool and filled this void in that space, you got all sorts of feedback and you've grown and evolved. How has Seizure Tracker changed over the years?
That's a great question. So as I mentioned, we built it for our son, Evan, who has tuberous sclerosis complex and refractory epilepsy. So we had a kind of a limited knowledge base of what the need was, but we had this need of collecting this data and then sharing it with our doctors. In 2007, we pushed the publicly available seizuretracker.com site out to the TS Alliance listserv and immediately started getting all this feedback from the TSC community. And then we found that other epilepsy-related advocacy groups and communities based around advocacy groups started reaching out to us. So as an example, we had never used rescue medication for Evan and launched the site, and right away people were asking for a tool to be able to record the rescue medications as seizures were happening and then understand what those impacts are. So Seizure Tracker's really been a community-based resource. We have this really nice relationship with our user base that allows us to communicate with them, figure out what the needs are, and then respond to those needs using the technology that has been developing over the past 10 years, and then leveraging existing technology in new ways.
And when did you first build Seizure Tracker? How long has it been collecting data?
So we launched Seizure Tracker publicly in late 2007. So, wow, going on almost 13 years of collecting data. And as you can imagine, there's been people that have been using Seizure Tracker for all 13 of those years. So we have what now is the largest database of patient-reported seizure activity in the world.
And in your rough estimate, how many events have been tracked in Seizure Tracker?
Oh, that's a good question. So the use has been growing exponentially over the past few years, but I think it was 2017 or 18 that we crossed over 1 million seizure events logged in the database, and now we're almost at 3 million seizures. So 3 years later, we've almost tripled the amount of seizures that are collected by patients in the database.
So as you said, you have one of the largest databases of these seizure events. How has the data that you've gathered in Seizure Tracker been used for research purposes?
Again, another really interesting question. The mission of Seizure Tracker was actually originally to boost the communication between doctors and patients to help with clinical care. And early on, we were noticing how valuable the data was for understanding epilepsy as a whole in the community, and especially subgroups like in tuberous sclerosis complex. And we'd go to these professional conferences wanting to talk to doctors about the usefulness of this in clinical care, but then we'd be approached by researchers as well, asking for access to the data. So there was this dichotomy of really being afraid of losing user confidence by sharing data in the research community, but then understanding how powerful the use could be. So it was around 2014, we put a survey out to our user base asking what their interest was in participating in research, and over 95% of them said they wanted us to share their data with researchers if it was de-identified and unlinked. So meaning that we couldn't re-identify them from the exports that we created, and neither could the researcher. So we took that 95% acknowledgement of using the data for research as a mandate to really start creating tools to help the research community get access to this data in a way that respected our users' privacy. So we created first a tool that allows us to export de-identified and unlinked population exports, and we were able to manage that through National Institutes of Health to do that responsibly, and we started exporting that data and sending it out to institutional-based researchers. On top of that, we built what now is called the Data Share Program. It allows other organizations and institutions to link directly to our database, and with the idea of joining and merging databases. So the Data Share Program is really designed to let Seizure Tracker users initiate those relationships and manage those relationships and share their data any way they want. So that's been a really effective tool in combining data sets as well. So to get back to your question, we've been really excited about the work that institutional-based researchers have been doing based on those population exports. A lot of that is focused on the natural history of epilepsy, clinical trial optimization, so lowering the cost and easing the burden of patients for participation. Seizure cycling and risk forecasting has been really interesting to look at. Cluster identification, so when seizures actually tend to happen in big grouping, we've been able to explore that idea and then be able to identify and define personalized clusters for people using their seizure diary. Some of the more prominent data share partnership we've done have been with CURE, their epilepsy genetics initiative. So we joined their registry looking at genetic screenings and then joining Seizure Tracker data as outcome data and then understanding the differences between the outcome data and how genetics has an impact on seizure activity. This year, really excitingly, we partnered with NeuroPace, which is an intracranial responsive neurostimulator, meaning that you can put a device inside the skull, monitor EEG readings, and then respond to those EEG readings and hopefully stop seizures. So we partnered with NeuroPace to collect data through Seizure Tracker. So patients actually could loop their data in with the NeuroPace data and present that in the clinical platform. And most excitingly, we just partnered with the TS Alliance using the data share partnership to combine that with the natural history database and the biosample repository.
What an excellent segue. Thank you for that. So, Gabrielle, you joined the TS Alliance team at the end of last year in part to help us expand our efforts in those two projects, the natural history database and the biosample repository. Can you first give us a little bit of information about what those two projects are?
Sure. So the natural history database essentially captures clinical data from people affected by TSC over their lifetime. And we track the impact of the disease by entering clinical information about TSC manifestations, such as seizures, tumors, lab results, and genetics. And right now we have about a little over 2,000 people with TSC that are enrolled in this project. And originally we were only able to enroll across 18 clinic sites that were part of the project. But now the TS Alliance may enroll people remotely via the phone, which is pretty exciting. And tied with those clinical data, our biosample repository stores different samples such as blood, tissue from brain or kidney surgeries, and DNA. And we use those biosamples to give them to researchers so that they can answer questions about TSC. So the samples are collected to that clinical information and they're used to lead projects that may discover different biomarkers from TSC or explain why TSC is so different from person to person. And we recently expanded this project to include a mobile phlebotomy initiative. And what this means essentially is that we can send someone who is licensed and trained to draw blood to a patient's home to collect a blood sample from anywhere within the United States. So it's a pretty exciting advancement.
That is very exciting. So you began to touch on this a little bit, but how do these tools work together to help expand our understanding of the disease and why it's so different person to person?
Yeah, and so since you mentioned TSC affects individuals so differently, so it's very important to collect as much information as possible so we can try and establish important connections across the population of people who are affected by TSC and just learn more to help accelerate finding better treatment options. So some of these research entities entities may help to identify additional targets that we can use for drug development, or we could use these to find biomarkers that could enable preventative interventions, or even hopefully down the line help predict an individual's likelihood of responding to a specific drug.
So Gabrielle, how has the collection of biosamples moved research forward? Do you have a tangible example of an outcome that has come from having these biosamples available?
Yeah, so one example is a partner company that originally was studying a repurposed drug for potential use, ESD, and they used our biosamples and found a potential biomarker, and now they are in an exploratory clinical trial.
So Gabrielle, how do you see the natural history database and biosample repository continuing to evolve and grow in the future?
Yeah, so I hope that one day in the future we can do analysis on all samples as a whole. So maybe like whole genome sequencing, whole exome sequencing. That way we have the same type of data collected across the board. As well as I'm really interested in adding different patient-reported outcomes into the database, potentially through a patient portal, and specifically with a focus on TAND, or TSC neuropsychiatric associated disorders. And that's sort of the last frontier in TSC, because we don't know a lot about it, and it's an umbrella term that encompasses so many different behavioral problems. I'm hoping that through a patient portal or some type of patient-initiated reporting that can better understand the TAND phenotypes and how that correlates with the rest of this information that we're collecting.
Yeah, TAND is such a pervasive issue that we're still grappling to understand. So enabling that sort of patient-reported outcomes can really help perhaps unlock some of those mysteries on why people are experiencing these different behaviors. And that would be really exciting for the community as a whole. So now jumping into this new partnership, how are Seizure Tracker and the TS Alliance going to work together with these two projects?
Yeah, so this partnership is exciting because we are both very patient-centered organizations, and we think this helps to close the patient, clinician, and research loop, so to speak. So it broadens our reach so that participants in one project can learn about and have access to participating in other projects. And we can apply what we learn about epilepsy and whether it is similar or different across the overall community, and then compare that with any research that's done on the connected biosamples for biomarkers or maybe clinical information, and then compare it back to seizure data that's recorded within Seizure Tracker.
If I can comment there too, Dan, I think it's really impressive the direction that the TS Alliance has taken in empowering people to participate in these projects. So originally, the Natural History Database was set up to collect data exclusively through the clinics, which is super important in this type of research. But what the new direction has gone to enable us as patients to share our data, whether it be into the Natural History Database or our biosamples or our Seizure Tracker data, we as patients can take the initiative and work directly with the TS Alliance to share that data where that wasn't the case before. And the TS Alliance has worked hard, it seems, to really enable that interaction and that direct interaction with the community. And we really need to give praise to Gabrielle for the work she's done in that effort.
Thank you so much, Rob. And I think our partnership with Seizure Tracker being an easy-to-use application, as well as our ability to send people remotely now for the Natural History Database, and as well as send someone to the participant's home to collect a blood sample, it's just expanding our reach and allowing more people that are affected by TSE the opportunity to pay in research that they otherwise might not have been engaged in.
So you've kind of already talked about it a little bit, but I'd love to hear more about what insights we can hope to glean by, as you said, closing this loop and connecting this data.
So I think we're at a really interesting turning point in how we understand issues surrounding different medical disorders. I think the way that we're collecting data, analyzing data, and sharing data between different organizations really changes the way that we can explore existing research ideas, but then coming up with new ideas that had never been accessible before. So when we look at what kind of research has been going on in Seizure Tracker, so if we think about seizure cycling or seizure prediction, what we really can do is then add in other aspects of data collection done by other organizations and look specifically more in depth at subgroups and say, well, if we're looking at seizure cycling and we have these specific genetic screens done, we can really look at what would have been called personalized medicine. So understanding how do you fit in specific subgroups? How do you look different or the same than other people in your community? And what successes in treatment and clinical care have worked better for those subgroups? So combining the data together allows us to look at how we compare within subpopulations and then take that subpopulation and compare it to a larger population. So while I'm not answering your question about specifics on what we can look at, the sky's the limit here at this point. We're going to be able to take the data, combine it together, use different analysis tools to find patterns and relationships, and then develop new questions. So I really think we're at a turning point of how we look at the way therapy is judged, developed, and implemented in the medical community as a whole. And civic to TS, I think we can really answer some really interesting questions.
And something unique and I think that's additive about this partnership is, you know, our natural history database looking rather retrospectively for medical records and clinic visits where parents or patients themselves are telling their doctor about past events. And sometimes it's hard to recollect what happened or what was a trigger. And something that Seizure Tracker provides is the patient reported outcome almost in real time to the TS Alliance. So we have a record of what event occurred when in a sequence of events, if a medication was used, provides a much finer level of detail that may be important for researchers looking at correlation genetic seizures or medication seizures or type seizures. So I think we gain a lot more detail here that will be really relevant for analyzing some important questions.
Epilepsy is such a pervasive issue in the TSC community. And Rob, as you were saying about subsets, people with TSC who have seizures is a subset. And within that subset, there's so much diversity in the types of seizures and the triggers. And so beginning to get this data to drill down even farther, I think could really open the door to understanding what sorts of options are out there for people who are struggling with seizures.
Yeah, and I think, so as a community, it's interesting because we think about research as and participating research and something that we think will help future generations, and our contributions might not be necessarily applicable now. But I think as we think about learning health systems and the way that the loops between clinicians, researchers, and patients are forming to share this data, we can really make an input, or we can understand the implications of our therapy decision faster. We can share that information with researchers and clinicians faster, and ideally create that loop that comes back and provides different therapy decisions that are validated through this data exchange process. So ideally, what we'd be thinking about research and participating in these data share projects as a way to enable our researchers to get therapy changes and advice to our clinicians much faster and actually hopefully participate in research that will impact us directly. And I think the TS Alliance and the TSC community have experienced that with past therapies that have come to market at a much more rapid pace. But combining this data is really going to open the door for more and a better understanding of how these things actually work together.
So you both have kind of talked about how work that the TS Alliance has done recently has really empowered more people to get involved in research. You know, you don't have to go to a natural history database site in order to participate. You can do consenting remotely, and you can even have a mobile phlebotomist come to your house to collect your biosamples. Gabrielle, can you tell me a little bit more about what that consenting looks like and how people can get started on that process?
Yeah, so the first way to get involved is to email me at grushing@tsalliance.org. And from that email, I will schedule a phone call with a potential participant or guardian. And that phone call should only take about 20 to 30 minutes. And I can consent you on the phone right then and there if you are still interested in participating. It will require you to sign a document that I email to you. But right after that, I submit a request to our mobile phlebotomy company, and they will call you to schedule an appointment at a time and date that's convenient to come to the participant's home and collect that blood blood sample. And I also will send a little email link where it will click through where people can connect their seizure tracker data. If they aren't already a seizure tracker user, conveniently it will pop up with ability to create a seizure tracker account, start using that data. And of course, if they aren't already in our natural history database or are not seen at a TSC clinic, we will need to get medical records that have information on the TS symptoms. So we do request that those medical records are either faxed to us or mailed to us and enter that data. And all those costs will be covered. So you don't have any additional clinic appointments necessary, no insurance bills. The TS Alliance will cover the cost of sending those medical records to us. And as far as follow-up after the initiation of project, we do ask that people will submit an annual blood sample. It's not required, but as TSC symptoms do change over time and as medications change, it would be great to get a blood sample once per year. And any medical record update for any new tests or imaging or things like that, that would be relevant and important for research. So all in all, the whole process shouldn't take more than 30 to 45 minutes on the back end, and the mobile phlebotomy appointment takes about 20 minutes. So a little over an hour of your time to commit to research, and we try to make it as easy as possible. If you're interested in learning more about any of these projects, you can always visit the TS Alliance website. And on that page, there's an interest form where you can provide your information right on the top of the page. And I will be in touch shortly after submit that form.
And Rob, you've kind of touched on this, but how does Seizure Tracker benefit from this type of partnership?
Seizure Tracker really benefits, I think, with these partnerships and relationships and growing the Seizure Tracker community, but building on the database and making it more powerful. I think we can really come together as organizations to better understand epilepsy. So we as Seizure Tracker benefit as a community, but the whole community benefits from the data that you collect and store and share. One of our most exciting projects now is something that's been a partnership with multiple advocacy organizations. So we as a family realized that epilepsy is not just about seizures, and quality of life is determined not only by seizure activity, but a bunch of other measurements. So we've reached out to advocacy groups, to community members, and to partnering institutions and clinicians, and really tried to figure out what we think a good measurement scale is for understanding the impacts of therapies and seizures on people living with epilepsy. So we're about to put out, as a part of our It's Not Just Seizures effort, a core outcome set that's been developed through focus groups of community members, really identifying what's important to them and what impacts them outside of just seizures. We'll develop that core outcome set, which will ultimately lead to a quality of life measurement tool that will be implemented in Seizure Tracker and other diary systems that will not only collect the data, it'll create data visualizations of that data longitudinally and allow patients to share that informationally with their care provider.
So as part of this partnership, Rob, you've created a page on Seizure Tracker that's all about TSC specifically. Can you talk a little bit about this new resource you created?
Yeah, thanks, Dan. So it was really interesting as we started talking about this new collaboration with the TS Alliance, really understanding how we could complement the information that the TS Alliance provides on seizures and epilepsy within TSC and what we had as resources on Seizure Tracker. So together we built a really cool resource that lives within our Seizure Success in You portal on seizuretracker.com that uses dynamic data from Seizure Tracker to present data visualizations of the prevalence of seizure activity by seizure type and medications that are used. And then it allows you to kind of see how you fit into the epilepsy community and TSC community as a whole. So you can access that resource by going to seizuretracker.com. There's a resource tab in the upper left corner and clicking on Seizure Success in You, and you'll be able to directly get to the TSC seizure-related information page on seizuretracker.com.
Well, this is a really exciting partnership. I know we at the TS Alliance are excited, and Rob, we're very excited to be working with you. I wonder if each of you could give like your very short pitch of why people should get involved.
I'm going to loop back to some of what Gabrielle said and the idea that this is really a loop and the patients need to be included in that loop. When you think about research, it's really been between clinicians and researchers, and the patients were peripherally involved. We're now come to the point where patients really need to be involved in the process from beginning to end. And then this idea of a learning health system where it's very secular, the patients play one of the biggest roles in collecting the information and in understanding what's important to clinical care. It's really, really important. And the tools are enabling us to do this, but getting those patients in the loop and keeping them in the loop will really change the way we treat and care for people living with epilepsy.
And I will bounce off that to say that patient representation is probably the most important reason to participate in this. So we have patient reported outcomes of things that are happening in real time. The expansion to allow remote mobile phlebotomy really allows us to broaden the representation within our database. And of course, the more data we do have, the better correlations we can make and the better studies designed help everyone. So it's really an all hands on deck effort to participate in this for a short amount of your time. The amount of research and knowledge we gain is huge.
Well, I appreciate both of you taking time to talk to me today and sharing about this exciting partnership.
Thanks, Dan, for letting us talk about these projects and the opportunities available to our community.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. This has been an amazing conversation, and just what the TS Alliance is doing is really going to change the way we think about epilepsy and seizures.